Today's sermon is entitled Faith Without Limits. With faith in God, our lives will go forward into the beauty that God has already prepared for us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, the scripture says. And if you're saved, keep on believing because God has a beautiful life for you. Even now, you may be going through a trial or a test. Hear this message and know that God is with you in every trial and in every test. Every trial, every test has a purpose. You're going to come out stronger, more beautiful in your Christian walk. It's going to be great. It may not be great now, but trust the Lord. The sun is shining on you. God has lifted up his countenance. Believe. Come with me into the sanctuary. Hear this message and be blessed. Faith without limits. We're going to talk today about trial and testing. Now, every Christian goes through those times of trial and testing. And those experiences are not pleasant. Now, if you're having a pleasant experience, you're not really growing in the Lord. But those unpleasant experiences where you must learn to trust the Lord, I'm going to try to differentiate between trust and obedience. They overlap, but there is a distinct difference between trust and obedience. And when we trust the Lord and obey him, and when we obey him, we're trusting him. There's a song, trust and obey, for there's no other way, no other way to be happy in Christ Jesus. So don't raise your hands, but if I were to ask you to do this, who's having an unpleasant experience? It's been going on today, maybe all last week, maybe going on a month. Oh, dear friend, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in him because God is stretching your faith. Your faith is now going to grow when you pass the test. You know, sometimes God gives us a test, just like the school teacher gives us a test. Sometimes we don't pass that test. And do you know what happens when you don't pass the test? You fail. And guess what? The test has to be re-administered. So if you don't want to go through this again, pass it the first time. Pass it the first time. Get an A. And then God will move you on to something else. Do you know Abraham was tested at least nine times, or at least nine recordings in the Bible of his being tested? I'm sure he must have been tested more than nine times. But why would God put nine tests to this one man? Why? Because he wants you to know how to pass the test. God didn't test Abraham any different than he tests people today. But when we learn to pass the test, take the test, our faith grows, we grow way beyond limits. Now it was his last test that's recorded, the ninth test, the most severe test. Friend, listen to me, please, listen. Don't run from a test. Don't run from the people who may be the one that God is using as an instrument to put you through that test. And certainly don't get bitter or angry with that person. Say, God, you're talking to me. You're talking to me. It's not pleasant, but I'm going to come out as pure gold on the other side. But if you run, you'll face it wherever you run to. God cares and he loves and he's trying to develop us, just like you care for your children and trying to develop them, and you must discipline them sometimes. And so God disciplines those whom he loves. And friend, listen to me. If your faith was as strong as it is supposed to be, then God would take you to heaven. But as long as you're here, you and I, as long as we're here, we're imperfect and our faith has not develop to the degree it should develop. Friend, I don't think many of us here today have mountain-moving faith, but we're on our way, and the Holy Spirit is leading us, and God is stretching our faith. Now, listen to me. It's not if you're going to be tested. It's when you're going to be tested. Did you get that? Not if, but when you're going to be tested. The scripture says in James chapter 1, just listen to it, James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to read it to you. Because you know, oh, I wish we did know. Maybe he's assuming something here let me go ahead and read it. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance means steadfastness. Perseverance means patience. Now let me read it again. You listening to me today? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may mature and complete and not lacking anything. That's why God puts us through a test, that we might mature, that we might grow. You know, there are some Christians that are well up in years, but according to their faith, they're still a teenager. They still have adolescent faith. They haven't passed very many tests. They've flunked some tests. But God wants us to grow in our faith and develop strong in our faith. God wants us to do this. There's a difference between trust and obedience. And here it is. It's easier to obey the Lord than to trust the Lord. Did you hear that? All right, now let me tell you why. Obedience is when we are doing something or not doing something. It's behavior. It's action. I obey, I do. But when I trust the Lord, I don't do anything. I just, like God said to the children of Israel at the Red Sea, stand still and do nothing. I'm going to do it. I'm going to open the Red Sea. I'm going to take care of that army. When you trust the Lord, you don't do anything but wait. Now, here it is. This is why I wanted you people to raise your hands just a moment ago. God spoke to Abraham many years before and told him that he was going to have an heir, a son, and through that son, the Messiah would be born. And Abraham, there wasn't anything for him to do but just trust, just wait. And he waited, and he waited, and he waited. You know, the Bible says when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. Well, Abraham got tired of waiting. Waiting is hard work. Board members, Sunday school teachers, choir members, Christians. Not everybody can wait and trust. Well, Abraham was just like us. He got tired of waiting. So he said, I'm going to choose my own heir. I'm going to fill this empty position. I'm going to fill the empty position. And he said, I'll take Eleazar. It's according to the law of the land. I can do this, and I'll make him my heir. And God said, Abraham, I didn't choose him. Your impatience. No. And so Abraham had to trust again. Oh, trusting is hard work. When you just wait and do nothing. And they waited and they waited and they waited. So Sarah said, basically, I'm tired of waiting. I'm going to do something that the law will allow. Since the seed must come from Abraham's body, I'm going to let Abraham have relationships with Hagar. And then when she has that baby, I will take it. It will then come indeed from the loins of Abraham, and we'll have an heir. God said, no. Dear God, how long do I have to wait? Somebody must do something. No, somebody must wait on God till God does something. You see, God is the head of the church. Jesus said, I will build my church. Not the pastor, not board members, not Sunday school teachers, not Christians. I will, God will. Men and women, boys and girls, trust the Lord, wait on God, pray, keep looking up. The answer is coming. God chooses his ministers, his singers, his administrators. God is a intelligent God, and he doesn't need Abraham's help. He doesn't need Sarah's help. He doesn't need my help. I'm only to trust the Lord. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. God tests Abraham. I wonder what Abraham was doing that morning when God called his name. I assume that it was in the morning. God spoke and called his name. You see, God knows our name. God knows our social security number, our address. He knows all about us. There's not a hair on your head that he doesn't know that it's there. God spoke and said, Abraham. And Abraham, how did he respond? Here I am. He didn't say, God, I have somebody to fill that position for you. God, you're lucky to have me and my intelligence. No. What an answer that man. What a response. Now, Abraham may have been out tending sheep or tending his herd. I don't know what he was doing. But Abraham heard from God. And that's the important thing. Hearing from God. Waiting on the Lord. Trusting in God. Abraham was trusting God. He had faith without limits. Okay? Abraham's response, here I am. Say those words, here I am. Now, when things aren't going right, you're under pressure, you're going through a test, you're going through a trial, you find a place in your secret closet. Remember your war room. We like the movie. How about, do we like the war room? Get on your knees somewhere and say, God, I'm in a trial. I'm going through a test. I don't know what to do. That means I'm not to do nothing. Just say, God, here I am. That's all he wants to hear. I'll tell you the truth. He'll move you through that test maybe much more quickly than otherwise. That trial. Here I am. No questions asked. That's all he said. He didn't say, God, what do you want? God, I'm feeding my sheep. God, can you get back to me this afternoon or tomorrow sometime? No, he didn't put God off. God spoke now. I heard the voice of God, and I'm going to stop everything. Everything comes to a stop now because God is talking to me. God talks to us through our trials, through our tests. We pray, oh, Lord, I want to know what you want me to do. God, let me hear your voice. Have you ever prayed like that? Oh, look out. Look out. God's going to come through. You're going to hear from him. No, he just simply said, here I am, meaning I'm ready for anything you say, because he knew that God wasn't going to say anything, that God wasn't going to give him the strength to do it. You still with me? When God asks you to do something, just say, here I am, because he's going to give you the power to do it and the strength to do it, ready to obey. Now, here's the test. And Abraham had no idea what that test was going to be. Genesis 22, God said, I want you to take your son, the son whom you love. I want you to go into the region of Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him as a burnt offering. Can you? No, you can't imagine. I can't imagine. I can't imagine a test like that. This was his last test. This was Abraham's most severe test. Sacrifice your son. Meaning, I want everything you have. I don't want part of you. Hey, we just sang it. He is Lord. He is Lord. I want your joy. Now, that's what the name Isaac means. Isaac means laughter. That was the joy of this old man's life. Can you imagine an old man and an old woman, Abraham 100 years old and his wife 90 years old, when that little boy was born? And now that boy was a strapping, handsome, young teenager. And God says, I want him. Now, what is the thing in your life that makes you the happiest and the most joyous? I don't know what that is, but what if God came and said, I want that. I want your security. I want your happiness. I want your joy. I want you to give it up without any hesitation, no argument, no questions asked. Just say, here am I. That's what Abraham did. Now, the very next morning, and I read that and I thought, Abraham, if I could just be like that. Abraham didn't say, well, can I keep him one more year? At least until he's 21, voting age, you know, or 18 now, I guess it is. Can I keep him just a little while longer? No, early the next morning, he didn't put it off lest temptation would come to put it off and to delay. I mean, when God speaks, you got to get with obedience right now. He had been trusting, trusting, trusting for years. Now it was time to act. The trusting part was very difficult, but now obedience. He got up the next morning early, saddled his donkey, got two of his servants, got his teenager, and got the wood, and got the fire. Now listen, what did he say to Sarah, the boy's mother? What kind of conversation did they have? Abraham, hey Dad, where are you and Isaac going? What are you going to do? It's not there. It's not recorded. But at any rate, she didn't try to stop him. So wife, husband, don't try to stop your spouse. Let your spouse obey the Lord and you obey and go right along. If it's in the Bible, it's the word of God. Well, Abraham took his boy and they went on a 3-day journey. I thought of 3 days. You know, it was 3 days Jesus was buried, 3 days that he rose again from the dead. 3 days journey, and then he saw this place called Moriah. That is where Jerusalem is today. There are 7 hills or mountains around Jerusalem. And I've often wondered, although the commentators and the Bible doesn't say that Mount Moriah was also Mount Calvary, but those mountains were all together, and it was one of those mountains. Now, when Abraham got there, he didn't see a city. He didn't see anything but wilderness. I remember when I looked down here and I saw this place years ago to build this church, it was nothing but briars. It was a wilderness. And I thought, dear Lord, you want to give us that? And God said, that's the place. That's your Moriah. That's going to be the Moriah of the Largo Community Church. He didn't use those words at all, but it didn't look like a promising place at all. But Abraham recognized it. You know, God still opens our eyes, our ears, and when our ears and eyes are open, he'll speak to us. And he spoke to Abraham. Now, Abraham says to the servants, he said, I want you to stay here. And he said, I'm going to go with the boy. I'm going to take him, and we're going to go yonder, and we're going to worship. And then both of us are going to come back. That was faith. God didn't tell him both of them were going to come back, but they went, and here goes Isaac. He had all of the wood on him. He was the young guy. That dear old Abraham, he was such an old man, well over 100. And Isaac said, Dad, I've got the wood, I've got the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? I imagine that stabbed Abraham's heart like a dagger when that boy asked him that question. And Abraham said, God will provide. God will provide. Hey, can you say those words? God will provide. God's going to provide the strength and the power and the fortitude to get you through that unpleasant experience that you're going through. But you may have to wait and trust a little bit longer. I don't know God's timetable, but God has his calendar. And in the fullness of time, victory's going to come to all of us who wait on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. Don't try to hurry God up. Not at all. Just wait on the Lord. And Abraham and his son got to the place, and then they built the altar. This is an altar. They built the altar, put the wood in place, and then he told his boy, he said, turn around. And he took a cord, put his hands behind him, and bound him up. That teenager never said a word. God give us those kind of teenagers today who love God and who love God's word, who will grow up to be men and women of God. bound him. Then he stooped down and he bound his feet. And somehow he got him up on that altar. I'm going to give you to the Lord. I'm going to give you to the Lord. Abraham put him on the altar. Reached over and took that dagger. Abraham, are you sure? Abraham had never been surer. He took that dagger and he was just about ready to plunge it. And the angel spoke again. Abraham. You know, Abraham knew the voice of God. Abraham heard from heaven. Hey, my sheep know my voice. Are you hearing the voice of God today, or are you hearing Pastor Jack Morse preach a sermon? This is the word of the Lord. Is it coming in? Is it making a change? If I came to you and asked you, what change has you, what's happening to you since you heard the word this morning? Abraham was ready to stop anything and everything and at any place in his life. When God said, Abraham, he said it again. Here I am. Those were more than words. Those were the lordship of his heart to God. And God said, now I know. That's what the test is for. To help you know and to help God to know what's in your heart, in your mind, in your thoughts. And Abraham said to the Lord, here I am. Now, listen to this scripture. I have to read this passage to you. Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Who for the joy. Now, what joy is there in being crowned with thorns, whipped nearly to death? They whipped him nearly to death. They spared him because they knew that he was almost dead. They wanted him to really die on the cross. So they whipped him. There was no joy in the crown of thorns. There was no joy in the whipping. There was no joy in the nails. Friend, you always want to be happy and joyous. You always want to, this is victory. No, you're not growing in grace. You're only on the surface. Now you must go deep in the Lord. I don't know what God has ahead of you, but God has spoken to somebody's heart today. Friend, you're going to go through it. You're going to go through it. Because God is trusting you, because he knows your name, and you know the one who speaks your name. And you're going to come out on the other side victorious in Jesus with great joy in your heart.